is Hard Parking, brought to you by Right Honda and Right Toyota out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Not going to waste a lot of your time. Your time is precious. Coming up on today's show, we finally caught up with Anthony Lozada. You guys may know him as the Rub Doctor. He has a beautiful blue NSX, and he didn't have the car for a while because I think his engine went kaboom. If you're here specifically for that interview, you won't be disappointed. He talks about how he got that nickname, the Rub Doctor, and the trials and tribulations, and kind of what it takes to stay focused on a project, because he could have mailed it in. I probably would have mailed it in and moved on from the project myself, to be honest with you. But, you know, he's gone from having to wait a couple years to what I consider a car that is amazing, and it's better. In my opinion, his car is better than my old car ever was, as far as the attention to detail, you know, the beautiful interior, the beautiful paint, and, you know, he deserves the praise that he's getting. After this word from 4Wheel Online, I get you with a little bit of car news, and then off to Anthony Lozada. For over a decade, 4Wheel Online has been bringing the best truck accessories and truck parts to enhance the appearance and performance of all trucks and SUVs. They are dedicated to providing an extensive range of upgrades that will match any maker model on the road. The truck products cover everything to give your truck a custom look and added functionality. Need a wheel and tire package? Head over and use the configuration tool. They carry all the major brands of wheels and tires, so go get outfitted today. Visit them online at 4Wheel Online. Couple quick hits on car news. First, personally, I did get the Honda Z registered, license plate JZ. Took it over to my boy Brian's shop, Kinetic Details. I'll be dropping a video on this YouTube channel, Hard Parking Media, which I don't drop very many videos very often, but maybe I should moving forward. Took it over to the shop. Basically, he took those gold bull decals off in a matter of minutes. The vehicle's paint was terrible, so he brushed that thing up really good, washed it, gave it a hit it with a cutting pad, hit it with a polish, and didn't want any money for it. Of course, I paid him anyway. Infiniti's teased their 2025 QX80, new design, 450 horsepower, twin turbo V6. That thing's going to be pretty sick. I'm not in the market for it. Those are the ones that we called the Beluga whales. Those are the giant Infinities. They're the corporate cousins to the Nissan Armada. But that thing's going to be exciting. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, but Rivian did unveil their R2, and I think one called like an R3. So they unveiled two new vehicles, maybe even three. Maybe there's a third one in there. Looks really sharp, so I hope Rivian does not go bankrupt as previously discussed. This conversation is brought to you by The Cell Shop, an Arizona-based retailer that strives to be your destination of choice for wireless services, whether Arizona, Washington State, California, Texas, and Florida. They are an authorized AT&T dealer, so visit them at cellshop.us and get connected today. He is Anthony Lozada, the Rub Doctor, and I got to be honest with you, and I think I may have brought this up before, when I see the Rub Doctor, I don't know if you're in the medical field, if you're some sort of a fancy masseuse, and of course, it had to do with rolling fenders and stuff, correct?
Yes, definitely. I can at least go out there and let you know that my clients are satisfied when I'm done with them.
Yeah. How long have you been doing that? And then we're going to talk about your NSX, because... Yeah. You know, you and I met maybe 2016-ish. It was a while ago. And then
2016, 2017.
In Monterey.
That's when I met you. And it was cool because that's when I had like literally just gotten to the NSX scene. I purchased my car 2016, May. And shoot, maybe it was later that year.
Yeah.
It was maybe later that year August. That I met you. And yeah, and I know that when we... Just like with any car I get into, I like to dive into the community. Just because, you know, places like, you know, NSX Prime and the Facebook pages, they have so much information.
Right.
And for me, meeting like the locals who have the same car is one of my goals. That way, you know, build relationships with local guys, because, you know, these days it's about who you know, right? And especially with cars that are this old, it definitely helps to know, you know, the guys locally, because you never know. Someone might have something you need in a pinch or something, right?
Totally, man. And it's such a small community.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's so cool, man. I love the NSX community. I've seen like on random comments, like even on Instagram and stuff, where people will comment like the NSX is like the most non-toxic like group of owners.
Seemingly.
Right? I mean, from what I could see, that's I feel it's kind of a true statement. Because right now I'm also in the Audi world.
Mm-hmm. How's running, that going?
It's going awesome, man. It's cool being able to see and be a part of a different part of the automotive world.
Of course.
You know, it's a big learning process, and kind of stepping into something new is awesome. Now I've been a service advisor for, was it 6-7 years now? But I've always been in the auto industry, starting it off with the Rub Doctor, kind of going back here and circling back, but to the Rub Doctor thing. It's an interesting name. I didn't always have that name, but I felt it was a kind of an appropriate name that also had like some mystery to what the meaning behind was. Because, you know, I'll run into people who don't know anything about cars, right? And when they see that, they're like, what the fuck? It's kind of like what you were thinking. Are you like a masseuse, or are you in the medical field? But when you get to know me, you'll find out that it's, you know, because I, you know, do fender rolling. And pretty much it's expanded into doing whatever clearance is needed. The fender designs are becoming more interesting. They're finding new ways to kind of, you know, redo the fender arch design. For example, like the Civic Type R, how it's not really a true fender, it's like an over fender.
Right.
They have all this bracketry behind it. The new generation GR86, they have that stupid fender flare that they decided to stick back there. So that kind of makes creating clearance on those cars kind of a headache.
And those are those always, this is going to sound dumb because I don't really play around with cars, obviously, like you do. But I mean, yeah. Back in the NSXs, right? I mean, we got aluminum. Right. So yep. What are they now? I mean, if you get across something that's composite or something that's not quite, are they all metal, or sometimes you're kind of like, damn, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. Some of them, I mean, with every client that contacts me, I like to kind of consult with them first, figure out what their goals are, see what's going on. I've worked on a lot of cars, and I can say it's thousands at this mm-hmm, point mm-hmm. over the last, how many years has it been? Since 2009. Yeah, since 2009. So that's almost like 15 years now I've been rolling fenders. And, you know, throughout the years, the trend of what car is popular to mod has changed a lot. You know, like, to be honest, I don't really work or see too many Honda Civics as, let's say, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's so many other cars out there, and a lot of people these days are into like, you know, making power easily. And, you know, like, why would I want to dump like 5,000 into Civic when I could dump 5,000 into like a 340i and make, you know, well over 600 horsepower if I wanted to. Right.
Right. Or a new Supra.
So yeah, exactly. Just downpipe tune. Right.
Right.
But yeah, because of that, there's always going to be a new car for me to do fender work on. Right. And a lot of the new cars these days, they don't really have fender lips. So there are some cars, like I mentioned, the Civic Type R, where it's like a fender flare, or even an Integra Type S. It's like more of a fender flare. Mm-hmm. I haven't had the chance to work on an Integra Type S yet, but I know it's going to, you know, eventually going to happen. But majority of cars, they're still, you know, basic lip, but a lot of companies are moving to aluminum. And, you know, I really just have to get in there, get my head into the wheel well, and evaluate what's going on. Because there's some cars like BMWs where the fender's plastic.
Right.
And you're like, okay, what do I do here?
You take a blowtorch and heat it up and then pull it out?
Pretty much. Or shave it. Or a lot of times, like even these days, I'm kind of... This is where the consulting comes in, where I get to get an idea of what they're going for. And these days, from what comes my way, I can see a lot more people are moving away from the stance stretchy boy like hella camber thing.
Right.
At least here in the Bay Area, a lot of people are going more towards a meaty fitment.
Right.
It's like track fitment, you know, like they're trying to squeeze as much meat as they can out of there. Every now and then I'll get someone who's, you know, going for the stance boy thing. I mean, you know, an LS400, LS430, you know, those guys are always going to be on air ride and, you know, have some nice big baller wheels. with some stretch on them, right? That's just the look. But a lot of guys up here are going for that track stance with some nice meat on it. So a lot of times, everyone's going to be running a specific, you know, wheel setup. For example, the SC 1000, like, I know those fitments, like, no problem. You just give me the specs you want to run, and I'm like, okay, I know exactly what I need to do to get that fit.
Because you've done so many of them.
I've done so many, right, man. Like, I'm surprised that till this day, there are still some factory stock, you know, unmolested SC 1000s out there.
For my non-car people listening, because it's probably 50-50, tell them what we're talking about and why people do it. Like, I know, or I can say with my old NSX, you know, because of the way the wheels fit, and I got bigger wheels and the big brake kit and all that kind of stuff. Because we don't have the type of fenders that your traditional Porsche or BMW has, where the camber dips in and your tire can just float freely underneath your fender without doing some work and blowing out the fender liner.
Yep.
You know, so I had to get it rolled and actually pulled. And so when you looked at it, you couldn't even really tell it was rolled at all. It was just wider. But that's why I did it. So let people know kind of the other use cases, or if that's typically the use case.
Yeah. So when it comes to fender rolling, basically, this is pretty much how I explain it to a lot of the people who don't know, is that the, I wouldn't say it's current trend, but it's just a thing that everyone likes to do these days is, you know, the trend is that we like to run a wider wheel and wider tire to fill in the wheel well, right?
Right. No gap and or whatever.
Sometimes, yeah, exactly. And then so sometimes you go so wide on the tire that when you're driving, you hit a bump, the suspension compresses, sending the wheel into the fender.
Yep.
And what that does is it's called rubbing. So what I'm here to do is to go out there and create the clearance needed so that it doesn't make contact with the fender. Hence the name, the Rub Doctor.
Right. You know? And so is it the device that that fits? I don't remember. Does it go on the lug, like on the hub, and then you slowly roll it back and forth really skillfully until you get that perfect pull and arch?
Yep. So when it comes to what I do with the fender rolling or creating clearance on these fenders, I kind of relate it to cutting hair. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a whole slew of tools that, depending on the situation, you use a specific tool, right? And for long hair, short hair, depending on what you want to do.
No baseball bat. You don't do the baseball bat roll.
No, that's one thing I can't say I've done. I have used magazines though, and like cardboard, for that tight millimeter clearance that some guys are after, for the guys who are in air, that they want the rim to just tuck right into the fender and not touch.
Sure.
I would lift the car up, stick some, with the wheel on, I'll have them air up, and I would stick a stack of newspapers in there and have them slowly air out. And because of the give on the tire, and the thickness and hardness of the paper or cardboard, it'll force it out slowly, and I would go up and down until we can get it to totally clear. Hmm. So the weight of the car would go out there and push out the fender little by little, with the newspaper in between the tire and the fender as we aired out. That's something that, you know, I saw in a video like on YouTube, like 2008, 2009. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting one. I'll probably
keep that in my. Was that like Chris Fix's third video or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. It was some dude in Japan that I saw. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see. But yeah, man, I mean, actually on the NSXs, I don't even use the roller at all. I use a rubber mallet and a torch to heat up the paint because, you know, when it comes to fender rolling, you're folding this lip inwards and it creates a crease, or it can create a crease depending on the design of the fender lip. And at that crease, if you don't heat up the paint enough, it can crack. So I initially started off with a heat gun, you know, being very careful on how much to heat up the paint. Not so hot to where it burns the paint, but also not too cold to where it cracks, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a thing that you grow over time with experience. You kind of get a feel of how hot you want the paint in order to make sure it stays malleable. Now, on the other hand, some paints, it's just going to crack. You know, there's only so much you could do to help prevent it from cracking. But like, if you bring me like a car that's the paint's not been taken care of. It's 40 years old, 30 years old. It's set outside. There's a lot of weathering on it. Then, you know, I can only do so much because the paint is in such bad condition that, you know, this is where I would have to tell them up front. It's like, hey, gotta let you know, like, I can only do so much to get the paint to not crack. You know, part of it's going to be up to the paint itself too. So I kind of got to do my due diligence and let them know before, you know, no surprises, right?
So of your thousands of cars at this point, how many do you come back with an issue with? Because you can't be battening a thousand, especially, especially early on.
Right. Well, a lot of times, I mean, I still get cars that come back even till this day. But a lot of times it's because they've made some kind of change to their suspension or even tires. Dude, tires these days, like I get a lot of people who come back to me because they're like, dude, I put a new set of tires, the same size though.
Tire wall, tire, it changes between manufacturers.
Yep, 100%. Like the section width and the tread width all play a factor in it, right?
Yep.
Like a Michelin PS4S, it's the big boys, you know what I'm saying? Compared to, let's say, even a Falcon RT615, they are much different in thickness when it comes to if you have the same exact size. It's just manufacturers have different sidewall thicknesses. They have different section widths, tread widths. And it's funny because, like, you go in there and I actually, on the TEs I bought for my NSX, I spent a lot of time winding down on which exact tire to run based on that section width and tread width, because I wanted my tires to fit just perfect into the fender without rubbing.
Yeah, I think my old Pilot Sports were definitely different than when I got the cups on there. Sport cups, and they were both Michelin.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah,
why is this all of a sudden
running better with the Sport Cup twos? I
think the Sport Cup twos have less of a sidewall thickness that the Michelins do. The other ones.
What do you do when you're not rubbing one out on people? I guess.
Oh man, so when I'm not doing that, I am a service advisor over at 034 Motorsport. I run the Fremont service location. Now, for those who don't know, 034 Motorsport is a company that creates, or that engineers, develops, and, you know, markets and sells performance hardware and software for Audis and Volkswagens. Think of maybe maybe Spoon for Hondas.
Sure.
Oh, they specialize in you know, that one brand, right? So with us, I work at where the headquarters is. This is where I share the building with the development team, the engineering team, the software guys, the warehouse, online support guys, and I run the service department where I have four technicians currently, and I'm the main contact for our clients here in the Bay Area. My best friend actually runs our second location, not too far, maybe like 15-minute drive from us. And it's been going real well. I can say my experience in fender rolling has helped me kind of fall into this job, being a service advisor, because all it is really communication. I mean, you know, having a knowledge of car stuff definitely helps, but communication between the customer and the technicians and vice versa is so essential in this job. Because, I mean, just like with you and me, we're both customers ourselves. So having that experience, right, of knowing how it feels to have a bad experience in the shop.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I feel like we've all been there. We've all dropped maybe our car off somewhere, and let's say it's a small job, and like hours later, we don't hear anything back about what's going on. We're like, is everything okay? You know, what's going on? Like, words aren't met, right? Like, I've had experiences where shops would go out there and, you know, make promises. I could probably tell you a story. I mean, you probably know the story of that with my NSX and how, with the engine build and everything, but we can get to that later. You know, having the shop keep to their word and not leaving a customer in the dark is something I don't want my clients to experience.
Sure, right.
So, because of not only rolling the fenders, you know, telling people things up front, but also having the experience of being a customer myself, it's helped me. I feel do a good job at what I do. I take a lot of pride in making sure my customers are satisfied and, you know, taken care of. And like I said, I take a lot of pride in my job and well, I enjoy it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what separates you, you know, not even just as a person, but also as a company from the next option. In some cases, there isn't another option, but you'd rather them enjoy going to you, not hate going to you.
Yep.
Cursing your name out on the street.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's funny because like I used to be an advisor at the dealerships, BMW and Lexus. And it's so funny seeing the different attitude that people have going to a dealership versus our shop. Because, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've taken a car to a dealership for whatever warranty or maintenance work before, right? And I don't know, there's nothing fun about that.
Correct.
I don't think anyone's come in excited, like, oh my God, I'm going to dealership for maintenance, sick. Yay.
Right, I'm going to hang out with the service advisor and the sales manager, and we're just going to go in the break room and have coffee and cookies.
No, exactly. Whereas at our shop, people will come by and we'll like literally sit there and chat outside, just talking about like, you know, whatever for hours. I mean, just as long as I don't have anything else to do, you know, I'll go out there and chat with my customers, have a good time. And, you know, that allows us to build a really good relationship. And, you know, that's the thing when it comes to running a business is that, you know, you want to keep your customers, and a lot of times building that relationship, you know, can go really far.
Let's talk about your NSX.
Yeah.
Because I remember kind of sitting back and just watching weeks after months after years.
Yep.
And what was the gap between you having your car go down and your resurgence? Because it felt like 5 or 6 years. How long was it?
So the day my car went down, what day was it? I know it was November 2017 is when I last drove the car. That's when I was out on the drive and realized my car started, the engine started knocking. So I was November 17. And then when I got it back up and running was April 2020. So right in the thickness of COVID, you know, it's like, damn, what other thing do I got to do? Right. Let me get the car running.
But, right. I was going to say, but oh, there's a butt coming.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're going to count the butt, it was actually October 2019 is when I got it up again after that gap. So I would say almost 2 years of it being down. In between all this, I pulled the engine out, you know, sent it out to the local shop, collected a bunch of, you know, engine internals and whatever, along with a whole slew of other parts I could throw on the NSX. And it literally took them 2 years to finish my engine.
Yeah.
That's another thing where my experience being a customer in that situation, I'm like, dude, I do not want my customers ever to experience this because it was just a shit show. Oh, so sorry for the cursing. I'm not sure if this is allowed or anything like that.
Well, now I got to bleep it out.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it.
No, you're loud.
Okay.
Fucking okay. A. How's that? Now you're not alone.
All right. Cool. Well, so, when I got this car run, well, okay. So 2 years and they finally got my engine back. I get it back. And at the time I was working at BMW as a service advisor, and I was cool enough with the shop foreman that he would let me work on my car in the shop at the dealership and be the last one there to close up. So I think for a week straight, I was kind of prepping my car to throw the engine in, and, you know, prepping both the car and the engine, buttoning it up so I can mate them together. It took me about a week to do it.
So you did all that.
Yeah, I have some photos of me working on the car in the shop.
Hey, there's some things I just won't do, and that's probably one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was dedicated, man. Two years of impatiently waiting, like, dude, I want my car back already. I miss driving it, you know?
But how did you, it seems like, and maybe that's what makes car people a little different, but it seems like at some point you would have said, screw this. I'm selling the shell. I'm selling this. I'm losing contact with everybody because we already know how cool the NSX world is, but now I don't. Now I've been off the road for a couple of years, have a setback, and then off the road again. Like, how did you even remain confident and focused, or what was that like? Yeah,
man, you know, it was a struggle. I think a part of it was me continually finding parts to throw on the car. I would throughout that time of it being down, I was able to collect a good amount of parts that, you know, you come up on deals. You know, we all have the for sale threads and the pages bookmarked, and every now and then, you know, we'll, you know, before we go to bed, we'll open them up and scroll through them real quick.
Right,
combine that with me having my head down and just, you know, busting ass working, I was collecting parts over time, which kind of kept me going, knowing that, oh my god, I found this part that I know that I, when I piece it together with the rest of the parts I have going on, it keeps me excited for that future plan, you know, that progress. Because I think for me, it's not just about putting wheels and lowering your car, especially with the NSX. I want the build to be cohesive, where everything just flows, right? To where I place the carbon fiber I put on the car, the combination of parts I put together, and how that visually satisfies my eyes, right? I want it to look aesthetic in my eyes, right? And I think throughout that time, those 2 years, being fed the small, like little updates that I would have to dig for from the engine builder, those were little pebbles that kept me going, like little boosts of confidence that would slowly go away over time. So I'd have to dig for more, you know, of those progress updates. I think the combination of collecting parts and the small little updates over time, as well as keeping myself so busy that all I was doing is working and sleeping, that kept me going. Oh, also during this time too, I was also dealing with my car getting painted. There was a whole fiasco with that too. So not only was I dealing with the engine taking so long, I was also dealing with a nightmare of a paint job.
It was white, right?
It was white. It was Grand Prix white.
Yeah.
It was Grand Prix white.
Yeah.
And I decided to do, you know, the craziest thing and paint a Grand Prix white NSX a different color. I know a lot of NSX guys are like, oh, what the hell? Why'd you do that, dude? But I'm like, you know what? This thing is so far from stock that there's no point in, like, you know, keeping it, you know, the factory color, especially if I wanted to make it my own.
You know, that was important. That's important because I kind of felt the same way just before I sold my car. Because it's like, okay, do I want to go wide body? Do I want to do this? I go, no, I don't want to do wide body. I want to keep the car. I'm like, wait a minute. The car is so different.
Yep.
You know, I don't know why I'm being so sanctimonious with this thing.
Yep.
There's, you know, I
think that's the nature of the NSX.
It must be. But I mean, when you came back though, you didn't just get your car back. I mean, you came back like you're downplaying it, but your car is the one of the most immaculate NSXs that exists on this planet now. And you received a lot of praise and a lot of coverage. You know, did you feel, was it worth it? Did it some level of vindication that you were able to kind of curate through your perfection of putting this thing together? And are there things on the car you look at where you're like,
I mean, you
could have done that better, but everybody else thinks this is like a perfect 15 out of 10. And it's really like a 9.8 out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, as a car guy, and I'm sure all car guys can relate to this, that, you know, others from the outside, you know, will think that, you know, this thing is amazing. And I'm not gonna lie, like, I really love the car and everything, but at the end of the day, it's not perfect. Now, I think having that balance of having the car up to your level of standard, but also having also that other side of the spectrum of like, hey, I still want to be able to drive this car, you know, and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Because I feel if you get a car to like it's such an immaculate state, that's, you're kind of gonna get to the point where it's like, dude, I don't even want to drive it anymore. Because it's too nice, right?
You get in a Leo Casino and Michael Mal range.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's like, I freaking love my car, man. My car is over 300,000 miles on the chassis. And I want to keep that, you know, that number growing, right?
Yeah.
And I can't do that to make the car too nice. Like, you know, I appreciate, you know, the praise and everything. And thank you for the kind words. But, you know, just being the owner and having gone so deep into this car, I know what is not perfect. And I feel like there's so many things that aren't perfect on the car. But I think that because I know that, I don't feel so bad putting miles on this and driving it and enjoying it.
Good for you, man.
Right? So that's the thing. I'm like, you know what? I wanted to make this nice and kind of put it together in a way where I can just sit there and look at it and be like, damn, this is a nice car.
Who all reached out to you? When was it Super Street? Somebody reached out to you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're in a couple things. Like you made some news.
It was actually on Super Street. I actually had a blog post with Super Street as well as Motor Mavens. Okay. Wait, is it Motor Maven? Motor Trend, actually.
Motor Trend.
Recently. Yeah, Motor Trend. It was actually one of the guys who posts for Super Street. He also, I guess Motor Trend and Super Street, they post together on their site or something like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was recently they did a blog post on their website. And that in itself, I think, was an amazing time. Not only because, you know, they were able to do that, but also the timing of it. At the time when it was posted, my grandfather was actually in hospice. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, and still to this day, one of my main inspirations for getting into cars.
Right.
Because I know back in the day when I was a kid, he and I would, you know, talk about cars, you know, look at car magazines. I remember him taking me to like dealerships just to go look at cars just because I wanted to. And while he was in hospice, I think a couple of days before he passed, this thing was posted. And I was at least able to show him like, hey, Grandpa, look what I did. I was able to get on the magazine that I remember looking through as a kid with us together. And so having that happen right before he went, I was like, man, this was like one of those like core memories that I know is going to last with me for a long time.
It's such a big deal, man. And I tell people for us, we build it for us, but we want our work to be appreciated as well. And for us, that's kind of like the pinnacle. That's the trophy. That's the I've made it moment. Like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so man, major congrats to you, man. And that's awesome. You're able to share that with them.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it was awesome. There was also, I think the year before too, I remember like, I'm not sure about you, but like back when I was like, you know, my late teens, early 20s, I would go to Weekfest. And I remember going there and be like, damn, dude, it would be so cool to one day have my car here and also to have a build where you can win first place in whatever category you're in, right?
Sure.
And, you know, fast forward, I don't know, 10, 15 years later, I think, what was it, 2022? The NSX took home like first place NSX. And I was like, dude, this here is like surreal because I remember being that kid, you know, that teenager or the young 20-year-old kind of coming in and be like, dang.
Now,
I have a car here one day.
Was Michael and Leon there?
No. They weren't. So that's probably why I took it.
That's always, I said, I'm done with California shows, man. Yeah. And I'm never going to go into a show with either of those two crazy dudes there because their cars are always going to win.
But your car
could and probably would if you are on the same these days. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Oh man, that means a lot, man. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm happy with where the car's at. I feel like I've been able to build the car to a place where I am satisfied with how it looks. You know, there's always going to be something that's going to come up where like, okay, I want to change this. Okay, I want to change that. But the overall look to everything, I'm pretty happy with. You know, there's always going to be probably a new set of wheels that's going to come out. There's always probably going to be a new seat that's going to come out. But overall, I think the overall look for me right now is I'm pretty happy with where it's at. Now, the last thing I want to do is like stop the ball or slow down the ball in the car, because I feel that the whole build process of cars in general for me is kind of what keeps me interested in the car, along with driving it. Mm-hmm. Right. I like to tinker every one of my cars. I've tinkered with my other car. I have a 2015 SQ5. That thing, even to this day, I'm waiting on a set of wheels for it, which hopefully comes in this week. You know, I just bought a new brake system for it, a big brake kit upgrade for it. And it's just, I've noticed that once I started, you know, doing more things to the car, I get more excited about it, you know? And I think if I feel myself like not losing interest, but it's like continuing to build a car, like, you know, gets me rolling. Right.
At some point, you're going to get to the, okay, what now?
Yeah.
And that's 100%. And you've, you know, you did the Super Street blog and got first place at Weekfest. By the way, there was no Weekfest where I grew up. I grew up in Dallas. And then, you know, I was just a car dreamer like most people. And I didn't get my NSX until I was in Michigan. And, you know, that's the wrong state to have an NSX to win any car shows in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's your Detroit city, man. You're like in the middle of, you know, people like the car, but you're going up against other 90s cars. So you might win against a bunch of Corvettes, you know, but there was no, you know, JDM or even NSX class. But, you know, you get to that point, all that work with your beautiful blue car now and all the accolades and beautiful interior and, it'll be interesting once you get to that point, if you're not there already, of like, okay, what's next? Do I just start all over or just appreciate it and move on to my next project?
Yeah. I think it's, well, you know, there's always going to be something that I want to change out or I want to do. Like, if anything, maybe a wide rear fender so I can pull some camber out so I can get some more life out of my tires.
But hey, I know a guy. I know a rub doctor.
Yeah, right? Well, at this point, I think I'm going to get, I would have to get wide fenders, like maybe a Margaret Hills wide fender or something like that. But, you know, I'm at the point where it's major changes, like, you know, something engine related or, you know, boost or, I don't know, maybe new different seats. It's just changing out things that are already on the car.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, different brake setup. Okay, different set of wheels. Okay, different style lip. You know, what else really is there left to do on it, right? I've already changed up a bunch of things. Like, I'm on my, I think, 9th exhaust setup.
Yeah.
I'm on my, like, 6th or 7th set of wheels. And I'm on my, I think I'm on my 8th lip.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I mean, driving the height I do, I have, like, a stash of lips here at home. So as backups, because, you know, if one breaks or cracks, then, you know, got to have backups, right?
No, are you static?
Yes, I like to say static, but I'm on a full coilover. Okay. I'm on BC coilovers with 12K spring rates all around.
Right.
But also with stance parts air cups.
Okay.
And BCs for me do exactly what I wanted to do. Now on my SQ5, I have KW V3s, and they're amazing. I freaking love them. But they do have a lot of travel. And for the height that I have my NSX, the shorter travel of the BCs is exactly what I need.
It's that spring rate.
Yeah, the spring rate and the travel of the shock. It allows me to drive at the height I do without, you know, really scraping so much. I've collected a set of lips over the time. Prior to me upgrading the suspension, I think the stepping stone for it was going up to a 12K spring rate all around. It's allowed me to have that stiff spring rate to where I could ride as low as I am right now without scraping most of the time. There's going to be some bumps that I know in my area. I know the Bay Area pretty well, at least the freeways. To where, you know, you're going to be driving fast and you hit a big enough bump, you're going to scrape something, right?
Right.
I know a majority of the Bay Area freeways to where I know what lanes to avoid or which lane to be in so that I, you know, minimize the risk of me messing up a front lip. But yeah, it's pretty much, I would say static. I mean, some people would argue it's not static because I'm running air cups. But When I'm driving, you know, the cups are aired out entirely. So technically I'm static at that point. It's just a spacer sitting on top of the spring, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I would agree.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, currently it's at the lowest actually it's ever been. And that for me is also another point of satisfaction in knowing that I've been able to dial the fitment to exactly where I want it. And I've been able to drive it at the height I've been able to, without having much stress over it. And a big part of it is air cups. Because without those air cups, man, I don't know where I could drive.
Yeah, nowhere. As you approach that that incline or that driveway.
Yeah, and it's without those air cups, man, those things have been a game changer. And I know to the NSX community, because I feel the NSX community is really one of the few communities that's really, you know, gotten a grasp on air cups. That's backed by all the cars that I'll work on. I'll talk to them about it because I have one of their flags, the Stance Parts flags in my garage. And when people ask about that, they're like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, you haven't heard of the Santa air cups? Dude, game changers. And people are surprised because my car is sitting right there and I hit a button and it lifts the car and they're like, what the hell? So it's not an airbag? I'm like, yeah, dude, air cups, dog. Right. They are game changers. You know, I think you used to run the same lip, the downforce vector carbon lip.
Yeah, the downforce vector too. I had BCs in the spring, same spring rate. Right? And all the damage of mine came from my own driveway, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and that lip is not cheap, and it sucks when you crack it. Yep. You know, it hurts. You know, it's carbon fiber, and it cracks that. You're like, oh, you know, hits you at home. Like, oh, dude. So, yeah, those air cups, dude, they are game changers, man. And, yeah, just the NSX, dude, I don't think I would have been able to have the car sitting the way I do without those.
Because my buddy used to try to get me, one of my local friends here, got a really nice Kaiser Silver one. He used to always hit me up and say, let's go cups. I'm looking for somebody to go in on me. Let's go cups. Let's go on the set. Yeah. And I never did. But I know that they're a game changer.
Yeah, they're freaking awesome. I'm a huge thank you to whoever decided to come up with that stuff.
Right.
It's been great.
Well, Anthony, it's been real, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on Hard Parking and talk about being the Rub Doctor and kind of tell your story because, I'm watching you have all this success and I'm loving it because I know how much struggle you've gone through with the NSX.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just keep doing what you're doing and it can't be easy. I mean, is there always going to be a Rub Doctor? I mean, cars are changing all the time. Have you ever sat back and thought about that? Like, damn, this isn't going to last forever, or someone's always going to come in with an older car that needs some help.
You know what? I mean, being within the car community, I feel that, you know, I think running a wider wheel and wider tire is going to be around forever. Yeah. Well, as long as cars still have wheels on them, right?
Sure.
As long as cars have still wheels on them, and as long as people can change the wheels out on their car, I think I'm here to stay, man. Because at the end of the day, I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy meeting all the people I do. I enjoy being a part of everyone's build. I enjoy, you know, being one of the stepping stones to helping my customers, you know, make that step towards their goal of wanting to run their setup and building their fitment that they want. I enjoy that. And at the end of the day, you know, I love what I do.
Yeah.
And so and until, like, I don't know, something happens to my hand, my arm, I don't know, something's going to have to happen to me in order for me to stop. But for now, I can see myself doing this for a long time. A very long time, just because I enjoy it so much. You know, it keeps me going. Just being able to leave a mark in the community. Now, I've rolled fenders all over the Bay Area. I've gone to SoCal, done a bunch of NSX guys down there. I've even been to Oregon and Vegas and done cars out there.
Wow.
And so lately in my life, I've been mainly just focused here in the Bay Area. I haven't been traveling as much, but it's cool when I'm driving around the Bay Area and I see a car that I rolled. I'm like, oh, hey, I rolled that car. You know what I'm saying? It's funny because, like, being able to see your work just randomly out there in the wild is like, oh, that's cool.
The Rub Doctor. You guys want to stalk him? Yeah, done yes. Now. Are you on? I don't do TikTok. Are you on TikTok?
No, I mean, I have an account, but I'm not really active on it. I'm just active on Instagram.
Okay, that's at the Rub Doctor. You guys can check out Mr. Anthony and his badass car.
Well, Jay, I appreciate you having me on here, man. Appreciate you taking the time, getting in the chat. I know maybe the last time we've actually, you know, spoken, you know, at least not face-to-face, but, you know, with our voice at least, was, that Monterey Car Week back in, what was it, 2016. I think you pulled up in an Infiniti.
Yeah, I had a Q60, a Q60 rental.
Right, it's just funny how, like, as car guys, you remember the cars that people come in.
Yeah, that was a nice car, but not that week.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man.
All right, man. Well, I'll catch up with you. I want to thank Anthony Lozada for joining the show again. You guys can catch him at the Rub Doctor on Instagram. Amazing build, amazing person, a lot of energy, and that was a really fun conversation. Want to thank Right Honda and Right Toyota, foilonline.com, SalesShop Wireless Services, AutoCannon, officially licensed Honda and Acura gear, Patreon business supporter, Kuya Automotive out of Winter Garden, Florida, Automotive Specialty Tool out of Owings Mills, Maryland, Bell Construction out of Connolly, Michigan, B House Small Home Design out of Ashbrook, Virginia, and Traverse City, Michigan, Shaping Success with Wes Tankersley out of Boise, Idaho. Join Wes Tankersley and myself on One Drink Wednesday, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Pacific Time. Follow us at One Drink Wednesday on Instagram. It's not too late if you want to join the Patreon. A little $3 a month. Get access to bonus audio as well as show swag. That's patreon.com, Hard Parking Podcast. Special thanks to Mark Stoneman, Catherine Cox, Eddie Ramos, Richard Graves, Byron Jones, Bo Jung, Elvis Gamina, Drew Bunkley, and Yasser Chiba. Email the show, hardparkingpodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at jfinning. Join the Hard Parking Violations Facebook group. Join the Hard Parking channel on my Instagram, because I can't grow that. You're telling the world how great the show is. Let's do this. Let's grow this thing together. And I'll talk to you all next week.
Shut up!